In the past, stories were about the magical lands in other parts of the earth, although some of them were valid, because they were about the time before the flood of Noah. After the humans spread all over the earth and found there was no magical lands on earth, then those stories lost their validity. However, the human loves to stretch his imagination. That is why now imaginary beings from other planets are created and movies are made about them. Many people love to believe in them, even if they do not have a proven base. This stretch of the imagination has also been used in spiritual understanding. That is why there are so many different theories and so many imaginary concepts about God and the spiritual world. These concepts and distorted logics are so untrue that any logical mind cannot accept the religious concepts and myths that are told by supposedly religious leaders. For the person who knows the spiritual world truly, and it is as real for him as this external world, then he knows that the spiritual world is as perfect and logical as our manifested universe, and also is guided with definite laws and regulations toward the goal of all creation. That is why humans should understand the realities behind exaggerated religious stories and find out the symbolic meanings of them, instead of accepting them as truth and becoming an illogical person about spirituality. A person might listen to others and try to understand what they say, but he should accept only those parts that seem logical. He should strive to expand his own mind and spiritual experiences. Whatever experiences he gains, he should just accept those as true. He should not accept anyone else's experiences as his own goal and should not use his own experiences as on others as the goal of their spiritual achievement. Each human should strive in his own path, in the middle of the collective path, to grow more and more every day. Sloan Dan, reading in Essays 2, Visions, Images, and Dreams. Throughout all of history, there have been humans who have had visions of heaven, God, angels, and many other things. Many have seen the same scene or same angel in different shapes. So many have concluded these things truly exist, and also many have become confused by their varieties. In truth, visions are nothing but the production of a scene to give a message to a person or to make him truly believe in the revelation which has come to him. In fact, in most cases of such visions, voices, or signs had not happened, the person would not dare to speak out or to carry on his mission. So according to the state of consciousness of the chosen person, the proper vision is given to him so that he becomes inspired to do the work. But in truth, they are just a production of his consciousness, or the production of the universal consciousness, God, to convince him of his belief. Also, images are nothing but the production of an individual's own consciousness, and they are created by the concentrated mind. In truth, they do not exist, and at the same time they exist. However, the unconscious mind, which knows all truth and solutions to all the problems through visions, images, and dreams, communicates messages. If these are understood, they become a great tool in comprehending the solutions to worldly problems and increasing spiritual knowledge. In short, we can say that there are three kinds of visions, images, and dreams. The first type are those which have no meaning, are scattered, and are useless. The second type are the ones which are related to day-to-day life and problems. Usually in this category, the solutions to these problems are given and the consciousness is trying to transmit a message to the individual. It is this kind of message with which the psychiatrists are most familiar. They are generated from the subconscious mind. The third kind are those from the unconscious mind, spiritual world, which have a spiritual and higher message for the individual. This message is not related to individual or day-to-day life, but has a universal scope and is a spiritual message. The person can then become the messenger, channel, to convey this message to others. Therefore, visions, images, and dreams are not real, although they sometimes seem very real, but they are the creation of the mind, ether, individual, either individual or universal. Ethereal beings and astral projection. Astral projection is of two kinds, those which are messages from higher planes or God, and those which are created by the ego. In truth, astral projection is nothing but the creation of the individual mind or the universal mind. Those whom God wants to use to reveal a message, but are not in that level to realize the formless, nameless, and invisible, need another channel between the physical world and the formless, nameless, and invisible. That is why God creates a master or guidance for them in the astral plane, or any other kind which the person feels he has communication with. Then he can realize God through it, and also it helps people in this state to feel assured of the existence of higher and indivisible worlds and truths. In truth, such a master does not exist. Of course, the consciousness in the image is a master, God, but like visions and higher dreams, all is created by the universal mind. If a person realizes that even these are all illusions and tries to realize the only true source, the highest source, or God, he can even overcome this last illusion. However, this process helps those who are in this level of progress, and if they could eliminate their egos completely, God can reveal many truths to the person through that created channel. But that image eventually should be given up, because even that is an obstacle to complete freedom and perfect enlightenment that all is God, consciousness, and the three gunas. The other kind of astral projection is to travel in the ethereal body and create images in this plane with the mind, ego. In this kind of astral projection, the person learns how to go to this plane, but he is not advanced enough to be guided to higher truths. In this plane, the person can see what he imagines. So usually, with his bad thoughts, false ego, he creates scary scenes, and they seem so real to him that he rushes back to the body from fear of them. As it is said, the only reliable source is the formless, nameless, and invisible, universal mind. Any other things are just illusions and so obstacles in the path to complete freedom. Therefore, they have to be disregarded. True masters, avatars, come to this world in the flesh like regular people. Then later on, the signs that were prophesied about them will be manifested and they themselves realize their mission. This has been true all throughout history. Examples are Buddha, Isa, Muhammad, Bob, etc., who all came as regular people and then realized their divinity later on in their lives. Even in the case of these great souls, although they are subjects of reverence, what they said and preached is important, not themselves. However, devotion to them works as a bridge to God. And continuing to tablet 6, pausing for a moment to see if anyone else would like to read today at all, so I can either release the mic to them or save some time for them to read. In the room to see if anyone gives a sign. Continue on for now. Tablet 6, Idol Worshipping. Humans never gave up idol worshipping. They discontinued idol worshipping of statues, but they replaced it with the worshipping of certain humans, for example, prophets. Or they have created psychological idols, such as statues. Or they have created psychological idols such as status, name, power, etc. Even some people worship themselves and what has been imposed on them psychologically or socially. Still in this century, where man claims to have reached a very high civilization, we find some humans worshiping statues as their deities and gods. However, their type of worship is more acceptable than those who have created psychological gods for themselves, have narrowed their minds, and are the source of suffering for others. It is inconceivable that the human cannot direct all his attention and adoration toward the creator of this perfect universe, which is the source of all these other things that attract him. The very reason is that the human does not utilize his mind and other faculties given to him to think about life, its purpose, or the perfection of all things. He is lost in the small things in life and the attraction of Maya. Also, he rejects God because he wants to be God himself. So by rejecting God, or by replacing him with false gods, he can follow his own false ego and feel himself to be the god of his destiny and life. But God will make him realize, with his power, through the events of his life, that in truth, he is a very helpless being. However, man loves his false ego so much that he does not want to give it up and continues to be blind to the truth. If man could adore only the invisible God and direct all his attention toward him, most of the problems of today's human would be solved in a very short period of time. Therefore, keep your attention with the whole power of your being toward him. Otherwise, the rest is just an illusion of the lower nature, and whoever falls into the lower nature is lost. Cults. When a group of people gather around one personality, attach much importance to him without him fulfilling any prophecies, and rely on him completely, not on God's laws and prophecies, then we can say a cult is created. In fact, the very reason the followers of central figures attach such importance to him and are apt to believe in this importance is so that they who follow him are also important. Or the central figure gives them a false assurance that they are fine as they are, and or that they can do whatever they want. So these people accept this so to not see the truth about themselves. In truth, such a people do not differ from those who put their importance on their wealth or anything which is from the external. Both have a false sense of importance for what is not directly of them, but is outside of them. Of course, this rule of creating a central figure and making him the point of importance is applied in all walks of life, in all levels of society, and in all social relationships. Instead of looking at their own merits and developing their own abilities, people praise others, become latent, and do not develop themselves. In brief, when a personality becomes more important than the teachings based on God's laws, that group can be called a cult. That is why to submit to the formless, nameless, and invisible God enables a person to free himself from becoming attached to a person or figure and allows us to learn from each being and message. Then we can pick the best of all of them, and so at the end become great. Middle path, balance. A middle path, balance, is the best way, not reactionary solutions, which are called thesis and antithesis. In the past history, the human has always handled the situation of this world in a reactionary way. He always reacts to what happened to him after the cause of dissatisfaction becomes unbearable. This process is so common in human life that he has come to believe in the theory of thesis and antithesis. According to this theory, there is an antithesis for everything in this universe, so there is a struggle going on between the thesis and its antithesis. Eventually, one of them will dominate, and a new antithesis will be created for this new thesis, so it will go on and on. The true reason for a creation of an antithesis, however, is disequilibrium of the thesis. That is, whenever the equilibrium between the elements of a complex system become disturbed, it is then that an antithesis will naturally be created to bring the situation back to equilibrium or to create a new thesis, equilibrium. That is why a controller in a system is necessary to maintain the equilibrium between all the elements of the system. However, so far the human has used such controlling elements only is in his machines, such as thermostats, but not in his day-to-day life or in society in general. Only by creating a system with a sensitive controller at the top who does not ignore any act which will lead to an imbalance in the system and who has enough incentive to allow all the elements of the system to grow together, can humans establish a society of harmony and peace. That is why the advent of true leaders and a very sensitive system is necessary to prevent the misconduct of the elements of the society and classes within it. Only these true, selfless leaders can maintain an equilibrium between workers, warriors, intellectuals, and businessmen. Read the Kingdom of Heaven on Earth. They will not let any of these classes exploit others, but will allow all four classes to grow hand in hand. However, if any of these elements went out of hand, they should be guided back to their places. If their growth seemed necessary for the progress of society, they will be allowed to do so, but they will be guided so that others do not become exploited with any of these elements. The theory of equilibrium or balance is not only applicable to the social system, but it is true in all affairs of life. Indeed, it can be said to be what the great masters called the middle path. Law or Justice, Tablet 7, in Essays 2, found in So, the Holiest of the Holies, the Last Testament. www.maitreya.org. Law or justice. Laws are created to bring justice, but most of the laws were created in the past and under the circumstances with which they have been implemented. They have been just. However, these laws have accumulated and been written down, and then they are taken as just laws for all situations. By doing this, the written words have created power over the common sense, and those who are supposed to bring justice will be caught up with the power of these words. They take them as the only way to deal with all situations. So even though each situation is unique in itself, and judges should consider each of them separately and bring justice to the parties involved, they find themselves bound by these laws, and they follow the words of the laws instead of their spirit. That is why we see nations or people who have many laws and are creating more laws every day. They try to have a better and more just society through these laws, but in truth, they go more and more away from being just. They become rigid in their interpretations of those laws, and the laws become a burden on them. That is when there are laws, but not justice. Such societies should then stop and ask themselves, why do our laws not bring justice? So they would start to institute common sense in their system and choose those who have this common sense in themselves as judges. Or they should see that their society is degenerating and eventually will collapse and be replaced. This phenomena can be traced all throughout history. The lesson is that laws should be flexible enough to bring justice, and also only those who have the ability to bring justice as a whole should be selected as judges. Furthermore, justice cannot be brought to humanity unless all narrowness of the mind is destroyed and there are true judges who have no prejudices or other biases in their judgments. Otherwise, this problem will persist and it will be another cause for suffering and upheaval in human society. Therefore, justice should be the focus of the judiciary system, not the laws. External symbol of internal punishment. In all the great religions of the world, the law of karma, more or less, has been accepted. Although this law has been presented in different terms or phrases, they all express this truth. Those who do not follow God's laws sin will be punished sooner or later, unless they learn more. Why did Moses and Muhammad constitute external punishment for the wrongdoers? Although the law of karma is true and man knowingly or unknowingly is punished for his wrongdoings, this law prevents only those who are sensitive enough or are in a higher consciousness from wrongdoing. They realize the truth behind this law and therefore keep themselves from sin. However, those who are in their lower natures truly believe they are nothing more than this physical body. They have no sense of spiritual existence and no sensitivity toward the punishments which they bear because of their actions. They only understand bodily discomfort and punishment. In fact, earthly laws are for people in this level of consciousness who, by being punished physically or by seeing others punished physically, are prevented from wrongdoings. That has been the base for the laws brought by Moses or Prophet Muhammad. The man who is spiritually aware knows that the judgment of God is enough for him, and his laws are followed by internal awareness of the consequence of breaking them and or the joy of following them. Grace burns all impurities. But the man of flesh only knows the punishment of flesh and how to avoid such a punishment. However, these laws are only valid and enforceable if a just society has been created and true leaders. Incorruptible and just. Are leading society. In order to implement God's laws in ignorance. These are again more reasons that each person should become familiar with the truth behind the spiritual world and realize that the leadership of Paravipras, true leaders, elected ones, is necessary. After such a society has been established, then the laws of God can be applied to those who even in such a society will not follow the social orders but continue to commit crimes. Then they will be punished. With this, they will become an external symbol of internal punishment for those who need such an example. Tablet 8, when the life starts. Does life start at the time of conception or when the child is born? The answer is neither one. That is because life is there even before the conception of the child. In fact, the reason conception occurs is because the life is already present. The question might arise, then, as to why the Bible calls the child in the womb a fetus. The reason is because the soul enters the body at the time of birth. So the body which is prepared in the womb has no soul, because the body can only have a soul when it breathes by itself independently. The body in the womb is the same as a body which is kept alive on a machine. When the soul of a person is no longer there, but the body as a machine continues to function with the help of artificial breathing technology. Occasionally, when the child is born, he does not breathe. He should be hit on the buttocks over his first chakra, where the kundalini resides, to connect the soul to the body, consciousness of the body, through the spirit of God. It is then that the child starts to breathe and becomes whole. The body in the womb of the mother is being prepared for a very special soul which is waiting to enter this world to further its progress towards the goal of his life. So by aborting the fetus, that soul will be deprived of coming to this world, and that is a great sin. However, in the cases in which the life of the mother is in danger, the fetus is dead, a conception has occurred because of rape, God forbid such a great sin, or for any other cause which is not selfish but has a profound reason behind it, abortion can be done. It should not be done for financial reasons. The final decision rests on the couple, their family, and their spiritual teacher. God is the judge. Tablet 9, Eternal Divine Path. Most of the writings of Maitreya, God bless him and his family, are descriptions of the scriptures which support his teachings and the greatest sign. But in truth, everything has evolved around the greatest sign, and that should be the focus for those who want to know the truth. Although there are many truths which have been revealed throughout his teachings, the essence in the eternal divine path and following its steps to pure consciousness. That is why the mission of Maitreya has no dogma, but is a practical path to bring the kingdom of heaven on earth and within. Then all might progress and become perfect in the progress. Even those who might not agree with all of the truth revealed in Maitreya's teachings or practices can still follow the eternal divine path and overcome any bondages and narrowness of the mind and to be set free. So the emphasis should be on understanding and following the path, which is the greatest sign, and creating a human community based on its teachings. Only with doing so will all petty differences be overcome. Everyone can follow this path and participate in the system of government, regardless of their basic beliefs, as long as they help in establishing his kingdom, open themselves to the truth behind this path, and are ready to expand their minds, universalism, all is God, and free themselves from bondage. So a man who realizes this path but does not follow the practices recommended is far more worthy than a person who does all the practices and talks much but does not follow and do. Therefore, we can say the teachings of Maitreya can be summarized as knowing and following the eternal divine path and creating his kingdom by following it. Hari Om, Teachings of Maitreya Simplified. 1. Hari Om Shri Hung. The goal of life is to become divine. 2. Om Nam Kevalam. That divinity is everything. 3. The path to become divine. A. Awakening the spiritual forces, mystical paths. B. Directing all energy and power gained toward establishing the kingdom of heaven on earth, Judaism. C. Sacrificing all for this ideal, or to be humble, Christianity. D. Becoming a surrendered or submissive one to his will, Islam. E. Expanding one's mind by becoming a universalist, Baha'i faith. F. Becoming a dynamic spiritual force, Paravipra, and helping others in the path. G. So win his grace and reach the goal, pure consciousness. Pausing for a moment there. I'm wondering why after F, it does not quote Ananda Marga, as the others quote Baha'i, Islam, Christianity. Continuing on, Hari Om Shri Hung, Hosh, sign. The sign representing pure consciousness is the sign of Hari Om Shri Hung, which means the goal of life is to become divine. This sign consists of four parts. The dot in the middle is a representation of the beginning of all things and also of the beginning of the spiritual struggle or operative power of the three gunas, the word. The I Ching represents the dual nature of all things in the universe, positive and negative, and also the spiritual powers of the three gunas in the operative state, awakened by the Rajaguna. The two other parts are the expanding lotus and the sign, which is called the Lotusika. The expanding lotus is the loving side of God, and the Lotusika is the destructive or punishing side, which is invisible and is not. Punishment and destruction come to man only when man goes against his laws. Indeed, it does not exist, and it is not God who punishes or destroys. It happens because man goes against his laws and so brings destructions to to himself. Destruction also happens when the old has to be replaced by the new. Therefore, the sign Hari Om Shri Hung in general means that with spiritual powers, God controls the operative powers of the three gunas, and he is the nucleus of the universe. The expanding lotus shows that he is all-pervasive and loving. The lotuska demonstrates his power, the universal laws of guiding and advancing the universe. The equivalent to the Hash sign is the four-armed Krishna in the Hindu religion and the square mandala in Tantric Buddhism. The I Ching sign in the middle is a representation of the Krishna, and in Buddhist terms is the center of the mandala, Vajrasattva. The four-armed lotusika shows the four arms of the Krishna and the four sides, north, south, west, and east, in the mandala. The I Ching in the middle and the four-armed lotusika together can be viewed as five jinas in the core of the Buddhist mandala. Hinduism and Buddhism both strive to reach a state of consciousness beyond the manifested mind. Although this state is called by different names such as Samadhi, Nirvana, union with God, etc., but they are all referring to the same thing which we call pure consciousness, God in transcendental form. This state of consciousness is the goal of all mystic paths, to become in the image of God. Therefore, we can see that Buddhism and Hinduism as religions are also covered in the greatest sign. The expanding lotus shows the all-pervasiveness of the Lord, or Supreme Consciousness. Also, the three colors of the sign, white, orange, and blue, respectively represent Sattvaguna, Rajaguna, and Tamaguna, or Brahma, preserver, Vishnu, protector, and Shiva, destroyer. The very center of the sign represents the father, or Rama, in Hindu terminology. Of course, to write the true meaning of the Hash sign and or the greatest sign, Om Nam Kevalam Ankh, is like trying to describe God himself, is infinite. They, Hash sign and Ankh sign, are representations of his qualities and attributes. And that concludes tablet reading and essays. And it looks like now we're getting close to the 9 o'clock hour, so it seems like time to release the mic back to the room for any final discussions or questions that anyone may have. Please feel free at this time to post them in text, or when I release the mic, to ask them on the mic. Shalom, everyone. Good God day to you all.